Good morning. My name is Nicola, and I'm from King's Court House Church. It's a real privilege to be here this morning leading EMP. So today's passage is we're continuing, obviously, the one series, and today's passage is Luke 12, 1 to 34, and I'll read the NASB version, if we could just read from the Bible now. Under these circumstances, after so many thousands of people had gathered together that they were stepping on one another, he began saying to his disciples, first of all, "Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. But there is nothing covered up that will not be revealed and hidden that will not be known. Accordingly, whatever you have said in the dark will be heard in the light, and what you have whispered in the inner rooms will be proclaimed upon the housetops. I say to you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body, and after that they have no more that they can do. I will warn you whom to fear. Fear the one who, after he has killed, has authority to cast into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. Are not five sparrows sold for 2 cents? Yet not one of them is forgotten before God. Indeed, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear. You are more valuable than any sparrows. And I say to you, everyone who confesses me before men, the Son of Man will confess him also before the angels of God. But he who denies me before men will be denied before the angels of God. And everyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man, it will be forgiven him. But he who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven him. When they bring you before the synagogues and rulers and authorities, do not worry about how much or what you are to speak in your defense or what you are to say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Man, who appointed me a judge or arbiter over you?" Then he said to them, "Beware and be on your guard against every form of greed, for not even when one has abundance does his life consist of his possessions." And he told them a parable, saying, "The land of a rich man was very productive, and he began reasoning to himself, saying, 'What shall I do, since I have no place to store my crops?' Then he said, 'This is what I will do. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years to come. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, that this very night your soul is required of you. And now who will own what you have prepared? So is the man who stores up treasures for himself and is not rich toward God.' And he said to his disciples, 'For this reason I say to you, do not worry about your life as to what you will eat, nor for your body as to what you will put on. For life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap. They have no storeroom nor barn, and yet God feeds them. How much more valuable you are than the birds! And which of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his lifespan? If then you cannot do even a very little thing, why do you worry about other matters? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, but I tell you, not even Solomon in all his glory clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass in a field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, how much more will he clothe you, you men of little faith? And do not seek what you'll eat and what you'll drink, and do not keep worrying, for all these things the nations of the world eagerly seek. But your Father knows that you need these things. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be added to you. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has chosen gladly to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give it to charity. Make yourselves belts, money belts which do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven where no thief comes near nor moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Amen. This is the word of the Lord. So just to put this in a little bit of context. So this is the last month of Jesus' ministry. He's on a journey to Jerusalem. He's actually having a private, but yet sort of obviously very public, because it's in plain hearing discussion, or sharing with his disciples. And obviously we don't know if it's like the 12 disciples or the 700, but clearly there was a lot of people. And he was essentially sharing about living their lives for the audience of one, you know, to beware of hypocrisy, to not fear persecution, to urge them to really realize their great value in God, as he even, you know, reassures them that he knows the number of hairs on their head. And finally, you know, he's sort of giving a forewarning of what is to come with the help of Jesus. The disciples, and in fact all the disciples except John, were to give a public confession of their faith. And Jesus was calling, you know, his listeners to a choice to confess him or deny him and to stand for him. Then suddenly he gets interrupted by a man who wants Jesus to help him to solve his financial dispute. So it's quite sort of like an abrupt stop. Back in the day, the older brother actually receives 2/3 of the inheritance, while the younger brother receives 1/3. So you can sort of see the unfairness. I mean, my sons, I have 3 sons, they would be screaming out for injustice. So the man literally fought through the crowds. It mentioned a lot of people were injured, so he probably injured himself or injured someone to get to Jesus to fight for what he thought was his. And I think a lot of us can really relate, you know, to the need to fight for oneself. But, you know, Jesus in his loving kindness saw through this man's outward passionate sort of request for justice. And he understood that this was actually a heart matter about a real and quite a low motivation of greed. So I actually like how George Campbell Morgan summarizes the core of the issue. And he says, If each of them learned the real meaning of life and sought as its chief endeavor to be rich toward God, the question of possessions would settle itself. This, the one would be eager to share while the other would be careless about receiving. But then again, you know, if it came so naturally, and if it wasn't such an upside-down kingdom principle, then we wouldn't have the teaching of the parable and the powerful messages that came. So talk about divine interruption. Which leads me to sort of my reflection points I wanted to share from the passage we read today. So we really, point number one is we really need to vigilantly guard against greed. And I think we all know that. But it's also greed and worry, because it impoverishes us spiritually. So I think Pinate was so convincing in his sermon. We really understand the greed element. And in Colossians 3:5, it equates greed with idolatry. You know, while greed can never get enough, worry, while being, you know, more subtle and seemingly less bad, is actually being afraid it will never have enough. So both lead to the same outcome of turning to the material and away from Jesus. So I have worked in asset management, in finance, my whole career. And so as you can imagine, I experience or I sort of see this sort of greed and fear being played out in the markets on a daily basis. In fact, the market currently is going through one of such a tough period because, you know, you've got this credit bubble that was built up from years of easy money and greed, and everything was coming so easily to everyone, especially in the sort of VC startup world. And suddenly interest rates go up, and the unwinding of all of this brings about so much stress and panic to the markets. You know, I've personally had a fair share of existential crises where, you know, I'm asking myself, oh gosh, the stress has taken over me, right? About, you know, am I really cut out for this job? Is this really where God has called me to be? You know, the greed side, yeah, you know, and that I've also seen it just really destroy so many people, families even. But I think sort of what is really personal to Ben and myself, so Ben, my husband, is also in finance. I've seen him, as well as my colleagues, you know, even lose hair or get bald patches from the stress of the markets and the industry. And I think if worry can manifest this way in the physical, right, surely it damages us even more on the spiritual. So then it leads me to my second point, and so how do we practically guard against greed and worry? And my second point is, you know, there's just no shortcut. It's really resetting our hearts daily. I was actually having this discussion with another finance veteran here in SP. As Christians, you know, operating in this very sort of greedy industry, money is actually not the actual issue here, nor is it about sort of just avoiding quitting, investing or quitting our jobs or material possessions that we have. But as Jesus focused on the heart of the man who interrupted him, it's really about setting our hearts right daily. I borrow a verse that this sort of said person, and it's really become something that I read to myself daily to set my heart, and it's from Psalm 62, 7 to 10. On God my salvation and my glory rests. The rock of my strength, my refuge is in God. Trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Men of low degree are only vanity, and men of rank are a lie. In the balances they go up. They are together lighter than breath. Do not trust in oppression and do not vainly hope in robbery. If riches increase, do not set your heart upon them. And loving kindness is yours, O Lord, for you recompense a man according to his work. So while obviously I'm a very long way out in living this out, John Wesley encapsulates, I think, this heart so well. He lived and taught wisely regarding riches, as you all know, and he famously said, you know, you can earn as much as you can save as much as you can, and give as much as you can. So, you know, he himself lived on 28 British pounds a year, and he gave the rest away, even when his salary went from 30 to 60 to 120 pounds over his lifetime. And my final point is to replace worry with a greater focus and even more determined focus on his kingdom and his treasure. So Jesus didn't actually tell them to, you know, say to your worry, stop worrying. You know, he didn't actually put a stop to that worrying. But he talks about replacing the worry for a concern for the kingdom of God. A habit or passion can only be given up for a greater habit or passion. A habit of passion can only be given up for a greater habit or passion. So as I sort of invite Mon to worship, I just have some sort of reflection questions as we enter into our time of prayer. I really liked how P. Kenny talked about how we can sort of put parables into the buckets, and I think the parable we read really falls into the crisis of decision bucket. You know, are you part of what God is doing or not? Will we decide and choose today and every day to seek first his kingdom and commit to increasing our passion for the kingdom of God? Can we hold things loosely and focus on what we do with what we are given? You know, I sort of just would like us to sort of, yeah, just even on a practical sense, I was reading a devotion and it sort of says, it encourages us, perhaps if God has provided a house for us, do we provide hospitality? If God has provided a job, do we help people find jobs? If God has provided us a family, do we take in strangers who do not have one? So I'm just going to read the intercessory prayer of the day. Our Father in heaven, praise be to your holy name. We come to you with humble adoration as we are in foreign land. We remember your decree to the Israelites that we must respect and honor those who are foreigners in Israel. Father, we seek your face for your providence and safety upon us. We are far from our families and loved ones, but believe that you are in the midst of us. Let us experience your presence while we are at work. We humbly seek your protection while we are far away from homeland. We have faith in you, knowing you were with the Israelites when they wandered in the wilderness. We came to this land with much expectation of your blessing because we remembered your promises to the Israelites. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Be yours, God, forever. Oh. come your throne, unbroken praise be yours, unbroken praise be yours.
Come into a time of community prayer, and yeah, let us lift up this community, especially the people who are just battling and fighting, right? Sort of, Lord Jesus, we just want to lift up our community who are going through cancer, radiation therapy, and surgery right now. May your healing touch come. Lord Jesus, strengthen. Yeah, Lord Jesus, we just really boldly come and we pray for healing, Lord Jesus, in this house. Next, let's pray for these specific illnesses and for, more importantly, salvation for the people that we're contending for. And also infirmities. That we just want to lift up these people, Lord, to you, God, that you would just really bring life into their bodies, Father, Lord, that you bring healing, you'll bring restoration. Those in our community that are looking for jobs, for God's providence, you know, sort of we just read today, yeah, he provides for our every needs, Lord, and we just want to lift up these brothers and sisters to you. Turn to our mission focus for today. Japan, Jungmin and Hyungjin, in US, SP New York, Kelly and Jess, and in India, Kelly. We just want to pray for these missionaries abroad, Lord Jesus. We just pray, Father Lord, that you would really lead and guide them, strengthen them, and just really move powerfully. May they really know, God, may they continue to set their hearts on your kingdom in greater measure every day, God. We lift up our missions council, P. Samuel, Tim, Mike, and John. Just pray for the Holy Spirit to lead and guide them as they pray, as they download, and as they really sort of reach out to the community in the city and beyond on behalf of the church. We pray for SP Fam, for Cadence, who's leading the foster and adoption ministry. Yeah, Lord, really, it's a response of us being able to be generous, God, in giving to those who don't have a family, Lord Jesus. And we just really pray for this ministry that will continue to thrive, and that there'll be more people added and sort of tugged in their hearts to join. We lift up our Friday night gatherings, SP Youth, IP, SPU. We just pray for your presence to go ahead and to really fill these gatherings tonight, Lord Jesus. To lift up the pregnancies in the church, Rachel, Jessica, Catherine, Annie, and many others. Lord, thank you that you're adding to our community, and we just want to lift up these ladies as they prepare for, prepare for the baby, God. And we just pray that that you really speak into their bodies, into their hearts, into their souls, God. So excited, Lord Jesus, to welcome these new additions to our community, and we just pray for really just protection and safekeeping during this process. And we lift up our house churches that are meeting tonight: Agora, Go, McCain, McDaddy, Providence Bay, and Zion. Yeah, Lord, that you would even free up the attendees' schedules, Father Lord, that you would just bring great discussion and just a really great time of gathering in your communities, Father Lord, that you would really speak and tug at all of their hearts, Lord Jesus. Lord, we just thank you for this time. We thank you for your word. We thank you, Father Lord, that your word never fails. Lord, we're just so humbled. We're so humbled, and we surrender all because, God, greed and worry really means we're trying to take control. And God, we really want to instead replace this with such a passion for your kingdom. We really want to go into the heart matters. We pray that you'll continually and daily just help us examine our hearts, God, and we turn toward you. And we're just so comforted, Father Lord, that you are a Father that takes care of our every need, that you provide beyond what we will ever need, and that we can come to you, Father Lord, for our every lack, God, and that you know us. You know us intimately. So intimately well, God, and We praise you. We thank you for this time where we're able to gather. And we just start our day, Lord Jesus, refreshed, knowing, Father, that you are with us, God, and that, we just set our hearts upon you today. In your precious name we pray. Amen.